Hey everyone, and welcome back. Ready to dive into a topic we all think about like every single day.
I think I know where this is going. Sleep.
You got it. We're talking all things sleep in this deep dive. And not just the surface stuff, we're going deep, unearthing the most interesting, actionable tips from a whole bunch of expert advice.
Love it. We're talking about those aha moments that actually change the way you sleep, right?
Exactly. So we've got insights from the National Institutes of Health, Healthline, My Health Finder, the works. We're talking about those surprising connections, busting some myths, and hopefully sending you off with some practical takeaways to sleep better tonight.
Music to my sleep-deprived ears. So where do we start?
Well, the NIH really lays the groundwork by reminding us why sleep matters so much. And it's not just about feeling awake. It impacts our health in some pretty major ways.
Oh, absolutely. We're talking heart health, weight, mood, even our ability to think straight.
Yeah.
The NIH lays out these four key factors, almost like a code to unlock better sleep.
Ooh, a code. I'm intrigued. Give us the secrets.
Well, it's not just about how much sleep you're getting. It's about the consistency of it, the quality, and even get this sunlight exposure.
Sunlight. Okay, now that's interesting. I need to hear more about this.
Right. And here's the thing. The NIH emphasizes that these factors all work together. It's not enough to just check off a box. It's about creating a whole sleep ecosystem.
Have you ever noticed that when you have a string of those nights where you just can't seem to sleep well, everything feels harder?
Totally.
Like your brain is foggy, you're more irritable.
You're craving all the sugar.
Yes. Yeah. It's like those four factors, they're the foundation that keeps all that from happening.
100%. And speaking of foundations, let's talk about those daytime habits that most people don't even realize are affecting their sleep.
Yeah.
Healthline had some really interesting findings here.
Okay, like what?
Well, for example, did you know that when you exercise can actually impact your sleep?
Wait, really? I thought any exercise was good exercise when it came to sleep.
You'd think so, right? But it turns out those late night workouts, especially close to bedtime, can actually make it harder to fall asleep.
Wow, who knew? Yeah. So I should probably skip that 8 p.m. gym session if I want to actually fall asleep at a decent hour.
It's probably a good idea.
Is it because our bodies are still buzzing from those endorphins? What's the science behind it?
It's a combination of things. Our body temperature is up after exercise. Our heart rate is elevated. It's like we're sending our bodies the signal that it's go time when what we really want is for them to wind down.
Makes sense.
And then there's that sunlight connection we were talking about earlier. Healthline talks about how light exposure during the day is key to regulating our circadian rhythm, which is essentially our internal clock that tells us when to sleep and wake up.
So basically, we need to be more intentional about getting sunlight during the day if we want to sleep better at night.
Exactly. And that makes sense when you think about it, right? For centuries, people woke up with the sun and started winding down as it set.
Soaking up those rays. It's amazing how much our modern lifestyles have sort of hijacked those natural rhythms. But what about people who work nights or live in places where sunlight's not as readily available? Are they just out of luck when it comes to good sleep?
Not at all. My Health Finder has some good tips for shift workers, like using blackout curtains during the day to mimic nighttime and then using a bright light therapy lamp in the evening.
Interesting. So it's kind of like tricking your body into thinking it's experiencing natural daylight, even when it's not.
Yeah.
It's pretty cool. It's pretty amazing how adaptable our bodies are, right? Like with a little help, we can adjust to all kinds of crazy schedules and environments.
For sure. But speaking of adjusting, let's talk about that crucial time right before we actually hit the hay. You know, those couple hours before bed.
Okay, yeah, that pre-sleep routine. What does Healthline have to say about that?
Well, they had a lot to say, especially about what we consume in those final hours before bed. Let's talk about the big two, caffeine and alcohol.
Yeah, gotta love those late night cravings. But realistically, how much do those things really mess with our sleep?
More than you might think. We all know these substances can interfere with sleep, right?
Sure.
But Healthline actually breaks down the why and when. Like caffeine, for example, can stay in your system for up to 10 hours.
10 hours. So that afternoon, coffee is basically sneaking into bed with me at night, uninvited.
You got it. And alcohol, even though it might make you feel sleepy at first, it messes with your sleep later on. Especially that REM sleep, which is crucial for waking up feeling refreshed.
Oh, that makes so much sense. It's like sometimes I'll sleep in super late after a night out, but I still wake up feeling groggy.
Exactly. It's not just about the quantity of sleep.
Quality over quantity, right.
Always. And the NHLBI, they're big on the consistency factor. having a regular bedtime and wake-up time, even on the weekends.
Yeah, that internal clock thing again, it's like the more consistent we are, the more our bodies can get into that natural rhythm.
Right, it's like clockwork.
But what about those people who are doing all the right things? They're exercising, eating well, they've got their sleep routine down, but they're still tossing and turning all night.
That's when it's time to consider that there might be something else going on, like a sleep disorder.
Okay, sleep disorders. Those are actually more common than people think, right?
Way more common. My health finder brings up a good point. They often go undiagnosed.
Probably because people don't talk about it enough. It's like that get over it, just sleep mentality.
Oh, totally. People just think they're bad sleepers and don't realize it could be something treatable.
So what are some of the most common ones people should be aware of?
My health finder lists a bunch, but one that's often overlooked, and it's actually mentioned in that Healthline article too, is sleep apnea. You know, a lot of times people just brush it off as snoring, no big deal, right?
Yeah.
But it can actually cause your breathing to completely stop and start throughout the night.
Wait, seriously?
Yeah.
And that obviously can't be good for you. Does that lead to those other side effects, like feeling tired all the time, even after a full night's sleep?
Definitely. It could impact your energy levels, your mood, even your concentration.
Wow. So the takeaway here is, if you're having persistent sleep problems and nothing seems to be helping, maybe talk to a doctor.
100%. Knowledge is power.
Absolutely.
And there might be a super simple solution, so definitely speak up.
Okay, so we've covered a lot of ground here. Daytime habits, what to avoid before bed, even sleep disorders. But what about those moments right before bed? What can we do in those last few minutes before we actually close our eyes to help us drift off easier?
Yeah, it's like, how am I supposed to relax when I've got a million things running through my mind about tomorrow?
I hear you. It's like our brains just don't want to shut off sometimes.
Exactly.
But both Healthline and the NHLBI, they're big on building in time to unwind before bed.
Okay, so we're talking like spa days and meditation retreats every night. Not exactly. More like simple things.
Yeah. You know,
a hot bath, reading a book, even just putting on some calming music.
Okay, that I can get behind.
It's really just about figuring out what works for you.
Yeah.
What helps you relax.
Yeah, totally. It's personalized.
And then you make it a routine.
Oh, yeah. I've heard that's important. Having a consistent bedtime routine, like signaling to your brain that it's time to start powering down.
Exactly. And the cool thing is, there's actually science behind it. When we do these relaxing activities, it calms down our nervous system.
Which is key for good sleep, right?
Huge. Remember us talking about cortisol earlier? The stress hormone.
Oh, yeah. Like when you're rushing to meet a deadline or something and you can just feel your anxiety levels going through the roof. Not exactly conducive to sleep.
The worst.
Mm-hmm.
But these relaxation techniques, they actually help counteract that stress response. And that, in turn, allows your body to produce more melatonin.
Which
melatonin is the sleep hormone.
Ah, right.
It's like hitting the off switch on your brain after a long day.
Ah, sign me up. And you know, what I love about all these tips we've talked about today is that they're all about those little changes, right? You don't have to overhaul your whole life.
Small steps.
Exactly.
It's a journey, this whole sleep thing.
So true. Not a race.
You've got to figure out what works for you, what works for your body, your life.
I love that. It's personalized.
Totally.
Well, on that note, as we wrap up our deep dive into the wild world of sleep, I want to leave our listeners with a little challenge. What's one small change you can make tonight to sleep a little bit better? Maybe it's putting your phone away an hour before bed, trying a meditation app, or just like we talked about, making your bedroom a little cooler.
Even those small changes can make a huge difference.
They really can. And, you know, pay attention to how you feel, right? See what works, what doesn't.
Exactly. It's all about experimenting.
And remember, we're all in this sleep journey together. Sweet dreams, everyone.